together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Thank you, team. All right. Today I have one more sermon before we get back to our discipleship study and the apologetics, the dinosaurs. I went away last week. God put that sermon on my heart. It was a hard sermon for us probably to hear last week. Our responsibility to God and to each other about being the church, our responsibility of being here and encouraging one another and serving the church. And it's so important to God that we get this and we understand this. But after Sunday, and it came in Monday, I had a new zeal. And that last song we sang, Janet actually brought it to my attention last Sunday. As I listened to it and I started to prepare for today, God said, because I had more last week to add, but there was no way to put it in. It was part of last week, but I couldn't fit it all in. And I just thought it was, okay, we'll get back to apologetics. And God said, no, I want you to put the exclamation point. Last week we made the statement of what God expects from us. Today is the exclamation point. And then we'll get back to apologetics. I want us to be a church ready. Ready for the return of Christ. Ready to do what He has called us to do. So that's what I want to look at today. Let me explain a little bit. And this is how I see so much of my life evolving around this. And so I don't mean to talk about it too much. And I don't think I do. But my life, the first part of my life, evolved around the United States Marine Corps. Next slide, Levi. That was our motto. The few, the proud, the Marines. I'm sure you guys have all heard that. I was raised in a military family. Military was all I really knew and all I really wanted growing up as a kid and a teenager. And then getting out of high school, I joined the Marine Corps. And that's where I spent the first part of my adulthood and who I became and the man I turned to be. And Marine Corps had so much to do with that. I wanted to serve my country. I wanted to wear my nation's uniform, as my father did before me, to represent something bigger than myself. And I was ready to give my life for duty, for country, for Corps. No doubt, no hesitation. I was fully committed as a U.S. Marine. But God had different plans for me than staying in the Marine Corps. By His grace, He saved me in the depths of the sinfulness and the sinful life I lived back then. And today, I don't wear the uniform of the Marine Corps any longer. I don't have my Marine brothers around me any longer. I got a few, us old retired. BJ is one of them. But today I have something much more valuable, much more important. Something much more important than I ever had back then. And today I find myself in the greatest war in human history. We are all in this war. Good and evil. God, Satan. It's raging all around us and it's taking and destroying countless of people. But see, today, what I didn't have back then, what I have now, and hopefully you as well, is that I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I have a higher calling upon my life. You have a higher calling upon your life than anything else. It's higher than anything that you may be in your life. It's not about not doing those other things that we have to do, but understanding that everything we do is to further this higher calling upon our lives. That is to be the church. To be disciples of Jesus Christ. And like today, I don't have my Marine brothers around me anymore, but what I do have, and it's much more valuable, and means much more to me. I have my brothers and my sisters in Christ. These are whom God has me, you, to make my stand, to make our stand together. No longer do I go by the few, the proud, the Marines. Now it's the few, the loved, and the redeemed. That's who we are. That's who I am. And I pray that's who you are. Starting today, this church has been on a long journey for 10 years. But I felt after last Sunday, saying what God told me to say to the church and for us to evaluate ourselves, I felt a new beginning on Monday. A new sense that I haven't felt in a long time here. And there is a new beginning for this church. We have a good core, small core group of believers to build a church upon. And even today, we're missing people. Hopefully, one Sunday I can get the whole team here. That would be awesome. But we have a good core group to build a church upon. To allow God to do something through us. He doesn't need great numbers. He took a handful of disciples and changed the world. But what he does need is a group of people who so desire to be used. Where we desire to seek him. That he is important to us. Our relationship with him is important. And our being the church is important. And if we seek him and allow him, he can do so much. But we need to desire this. He will not force it upon us or through us. So it is up to us. How serious we will take what God shared with us last week and what he's going to share with us today and what he wants us to know from this moment forward. So, this new focused, determined, motivated team that he is calling us to be to serve our Lord and our Savior and our King. We are not going to be categorized by our numbers. Give me quality over quantity any day. Give me 50 blood-bought, sold-out, committed disciples of Jesus Christ over 550 churchgoers. From this moment forward, we're going to be a church ready for the Lord's return. For all of us to be ready, a few things are going to have to be our main focus, each one of us. First and foremost, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 13:14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. You know, back in the Marine Corps days, my Marine uniform, I used to put that on. And every time I put that on, I'd stand a little taller. Maybe the chest would go out a little more. But I walked with a purpose. The uniform, I represented something much grander than myself. And it was everything to me. It was my identity. I represented the Marine Corps. I represented my nation. I represented the American people. But today we have a different kind of uniform. You see, it's not just good enough to have Jesus on the inside. It's time to show him on the outside. In the lives we live, in the life song that we live. Again, easy to sing about our love for God and our commitment to him, but will we live that? It's time to show him on the outside in our lives. In everything we do. It doesn't matter how small and insignificant maybe, to whatever great things we do, whatever we do and everything in between, we show Jesus Christ. put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We should understand we not only have Him in here, but we wear Him. His righteousness, His light, His truth, His character. We represent Him. Let's represent Him well. Because see, time is very short. Let me read you in context of this verse. Romans 13:11. And do this knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of the darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing the time. Do you know, I don't speak about the end times every Sunday. I do mention it when things pop up or prophecy pops up. I'm like, hey, did you see this? But every time I speak, we bring this subject up of knowing the time. Something new has happened in the world. Something has happened that has made the signs of the times even more evident. Or we've progressed further into the timeline. Last time I spoke about this, we didn't have the what we see today, worldwide anti-Semitism. Have you guys noticed the increase? It has shot through the roof. What used to be a year ago, 2 years ago, don't say anything bad about the Jews. To be an anti-Semite was bad. And now it's boom. Why? Because the Bible says, towards the end, all nations, all people will come against Israel. We're almost there, folks. The only reason our country right now is barely standing by Israel is because of the Christian church. It wasn't for the Christian church, this country would move away. It's already trying to move away from Israel. When the rapture happens before the tribulation, before the end, then our nation will stand with all the other nations against Israel. But anti-Semitism is just crazy. That's a sign of the times. So each year, each month, more and more is happening. More and more is showing us that our time is short and getting shorter. So we need to put on our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be serious. All right. Next thing. We have to make the good fight of faith. It's a fight. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Now, we're not taking up arms. We're not being like Islam and you're going to conquer the infidels, the unbelievers. No. Our fight is faith. Our fight is spiritual. Our fight is of truth and light. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were also called. You see, too many people, and I've been guilty of this as anybody else, too many people sometimes when we live this life, we're just thinking about the here and now. We might be planning for retirement, maybe, but mostly we think about now. What God calls us to do is think about eternal things. Lay hold of eternal life. We've been given eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's where it really matters. That's what we live for. Things that are eternal in this world. And there's only one thing in this world that's eternal, and that's human souls. That's what we should be living for. Sharing the gospel, seeing people get saved. Because we came into this world with nothing, and we are leaving with nothing. You're not taking anything with you. Your trophies, your money, your cars, your home, nothing. The only thing we're going to take with us is other people. That's what we need to be doing. That's the fight we need to be in. That's what we need to be existing for. But to make a good fight, to fight, you have to be good soldiers. Soldiers know how to fight. We're to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You therefore must endure hardship as good soldiers, soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Soldiers endure. Soldiers do whatever they have to do to stay in the fight. and to win. We have to have that mindset, that heart. Whether you are a soldier or a Marine or a sailor or an airman, there's this mentality in the military. And when you're in, that everything, your whole life evolves around the military. It evolves around what the military is about. Your whole life conforms to it. It's your existence. Well, folks, we're the church now. And our lives should form around our identity as disciples and as the church. It should affect everything we do. And we are to be good soldiers. And good soldiers endure hard things. They're going to fight. They're not going to give up. Because there's one thing on a soldier's mind. Mission accomplishment. That's what it's all about. Accomplishing the mission. No matter what the cost. And we do have a mission. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Evangelism. How do you make disciples? Well, they have to be born again to be disciples. So it's understood here. We have to go out and we have to share the gospel. Make people into disciples. Baptizing them because they have been born again. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And we're to teach them everything about their Lord and Savior and what Jesus taught and what He teaches us today. That's the mission. Every one of us should be about this mission. Not just Trevor or Randy teaching a course on the gospel. Not just me and Gordon because we're professionals, right? Educated, whatever, trained. It's all of us. Every single one of us. To accomplish the mission. But to accomplish this mission, we must be faithful. Always faithful. It's the Marine Corps motto. Semper Fi, Semper Fidelis in the Latin. Always faithful. God calls us to be faithful servants. All the time. He expects that. He shares this in Matthew chapter 24. Who then is that faithful and wise servant? Whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Doing what? The master's business. What is the master's business for us? The Great Commission. Saving the lost. He came to save the lost. That was his mission, and he accomplished it by dying on the cross and raising from the dead. And now that mission is ours. We're to be faithful. Faithful to God. Faithful to our Lord and Savior. Faithful to one another. As good soldiers, we are called to be faithful, committed to the mission with the attitude of a soldier. No surrender, no retreat, no regrets. Ephesians chapter 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It is so important to God that we do this. It's all through Scripture. It's telling us, it's calling us, it's encouraging us to take our rightful place as His church, as His disciples. And our attitude and our minds are to be this way. But a lot of people want to make life about themselves. Or they want to put things before God and put God in the back seat. Or God over in the side passenger spot. And no. It's so important. So important. This mission of saving the lost, that one, He came and He died for us. You can't get much more important than that. But second, this mission of us being faithful witnesses to what He has done for humanity is so important to Him. Not only did He form the church and give us a Bible and equip us with the Holy Spirit, God put it up into the sky. This is something I have shared before. Some of you are new, maybe you've never heard this, but it's so clear how important us being the church, being light and salt in this dark world, that God put it into the sky to remind us every day and every night. The faithful witness in the sky. Let me just repeat this, because it's always a good reminder for us. And this week, if you go outside after the sun sets, you're going to see the full moon. And that moon is designed to speak to you. It's got a message for you. God designed it this way. Let me show you. Psalms 19, verse 1 through 4. The heavens keep telling the wonders of God, and the skies declare what He has done. How does the sky declare what He has done? And it goes more than just the creation. The skies declare what He has done. Each day informs the following day. Each announces the next. They don't speak a word, and there is never the sound of a literal voice. Yet their message reaches all the earth, and it travels around the world. What is he talking about? Well, let's look at the great two great lights that God created. God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, the moon. He made the stars also. Remember, everything God does, He has meaning and purpose to it. So why did God create the universe like this? Our life, a sun and a moon. Let's go back to Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. They speak to us, and they deliver knowledge to us. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. This is for every person around the planet, and for every disciple of Jesus Christ around the planet. Psalms 19, verse 4. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle, a dwelling place, for the sun. The sun has a place in the sky. Well, listen to this, though. Which is like. The sun is symbolic of something. The sun, which is like a bridegroom. I think we just sang a song about that, didn't we? Who's referred to the bridegroom in Scripture? Jesus Christ. Which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a champion to run his race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. Sun is telling us something. God designed the skies to deliver a message. And the sun itself is telling us something. It's reminding us of a bridegroom. It's reminding us of a champion who came and ran the race set before him. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus, the light of the world, our champion, came and ran the race set before Him by God the Father. He endured the cross to save us, to create His church. When the world and when we see the sun and we see it rise, that sun is testifying, is delivering a message in every language around the world of what God has done. It is testifying of the light, the true light, that came into a very dark world. Next slide, Levi. When we see that sun come up each day, God has the sun testifying of the light that came into the world. A light that is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a champion to run his race. Jesus is our champion. He came and he saved us. He rescued us. The sun each day rises and testifies of God's plan, of Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus declared this: I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He came to be the light. And he shows us the grace. Psalm 84. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The sun is the giver of life. Makes life possible. God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So, looking at the sun, S-U-N, next slide, Levi, and don't click yet, and the sun, S-O-N, but let's look at the sun, S-U-N first. The sun, the way God designed it, and he designed everything with purpose and meaning. The sun gives light to the planets. That gives life to the planet through photosynthesis and the plants that give off oxygen and we can breathe. And the sun warms the planet. Without it, we'd be frozen to death. The sun causes the winds. As it heats the air, the winds pick up. The sun is the teller of time. We have a big one, sundial, right? Middle of town reminds us that the sun is the teller of time. Now let's look at the Son, S-O-N, the Son of God. The Son is like light. He is light. Remember Saul? When he was on the road to Damascus? He looked up at Jesus. He was looking into the sun, and it did. It blinded him. Because Jesus is light. He is the light of the world. The true light. The Son is life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without him, you don't have life. The sun warms the heart. God says, I'll take that stone, cold, dead heart out of you and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll warm the soul, bring life to you. It's the winds of change, the Holy Spirit that comes when a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ. He's described as the wind, and he comes in and he brings the change. We're a new creation in him. And Jesus is the holder of time. The sun, S-U-N, and the sun, S-O-N. Very similar. The sun is telling us the whole world. Psalms 19:4 says it. The skies declare what he has done. Next slide, Levi. Skies declare what he has done. They don't speak a word, and there's never the sound of a voice. Yet their message travels all the earth and it travels around the world. Jesus, every time you see that sunrise, you should thank Jesus Christ. And if you don't get up before the sun is up, try it. Try it just once in a while. See that beautiful sun come up and start seeing the darkness fade away. Jesus is that light. And he came into the world and chased the darkness away. He can come into your life and get rid of the darkness. Not only in your lives, in your relationships, families, whatever. The more you let him in, the less darkness will be. But one thing about the sun, the S-U-N, sun, in the sky, it doesn't stick around, does it? It sets, right? We say sun sets, it leaves, it departs. Just like Christ came and was the light of the world, came and accomplished the mission he had, but then he ascended, he departed. And in his place, he left his church. A lesser light. We're not as bright and brilliant as our Lord and Savior, but we are him. We are to reflect him. We're a lesser light. And that's what the moon is all about. And the greater light leaves, the lesser light, it's time. It's time to shine. To reflect. And you see, I believe the moon points to the church. More precisely, it points to the disciple. I think the moon has a message directly to those who are God's people. Those who have been born again. Let me show you. The Bible says, "It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky." Now, context of Psalms 89 is talking about the Word of God. It's established. It's never going to go away. Jesus confirmed that. It's never going to go away. But I like what it says about the moon here. It describes the moon as a faithful witness in the sky. Well, what is it testifying of? It testifies of the sun, S-U-N. We can no longer see the sun because it's night. How do we know the sun is still there? Well, the moon. Because the moon reflects the light of the sun. So it's a faithful witness each night. That the world hasn't ended. The sun hasn't disappeared. That the sun is still there and the sun is coming back. The moon testifies in a lesser light, but still light. It testifies that the sun is still there, even though we can't see the sun. But then the sun's going to come back. That's what that light, that faithful witness in the sky is saying. And that's us, folks. That's the church. That's you as disciples. Let me show you the moon. The moon reflects the light of the sun. It cannot produce its own light. That's the way God designed it. The moon affects the ocean's tides. As it's around the earth, it affects the ocean tides. It reveals the sun is still there, even though we can't see him or see it. And it's a guide in the darkness, in the night. This week, the full moon will be hitting. You can go outside and you'll be able to see shadows on the ground. It's not as bright as the sun, but it's pretty good when it's full. And it's shining, reflecting. And that moon looks to us to teach us about ourselves and how important it is for us to be God's faithful witnesses. Let me show you the moon and the disciple. We cannot reflect our own light. We can't. Our best righteousness is filthy rags to God. But we can reflect the light of Jesus Christ. We can't allow sanctification to take place. And the Holy Spirit that's within us can show Jesus Christ in us. We can't reflect. I mean, we can't produce our own light, but we can reflect it. We can affect the change in culture or in our families or friends or workplaces. Or the Holy Spirit in us, we should be able to go in and start helping people find the truth and change. We reveal that Jesus is alive because he has brought us to life and he's changed us and he's changing us and we're becoming more Christ-like, hopefully, in sanctification and we testify how we know what we believe and why we believe it. We testify how we know this is the Word of God, how we know God exists, how we know the tomb was empty. All the things we testify of the truth of God, the truth of Jesus Christ. He is alive. You can't see Him right now, but He's coming. That's the faithful witness in the sky. We can't see the sun, but we know the sun is still there. And the moon is saying it's coming back. Same thing as the church. Matthew 13. Let me show you one thing, though. Oh, I'm sorry. Go back. Go back, Levi. I missed one. Click one time. There you go. We reflect that Jesus is still alive and we're a guide to those lost in sin. That's so important. That's so important. We gotta help those people out there who don't even know they're blind. Remember, we used to be out there. Maybe some of us were sitting in here and we're as blind as can be. That happens in churches. Religion blinds us. Our own self-righteousness blinds us. Some of us get saved here. Some of us get saved out there. And then we come in here. But we were all blind once. We were all lost until the truth, beautiful truth, the light of truth came into our lives and we understood and we repented and we called on Jesus in faith. We need to help. We need to be light out there helping people find Jesus Christ. Guide to those lost in sin. Now, let me show you something as we close. I'm going to finish on time today, I promise. Matthew 13, verse 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Jesus tells us many parables. This is one of them, where the things in this world become more important to us than him, come more important to us than the church. Comes more important to us than the mission He's given us. It comes more important to us than being faithful to Him. Things in this world, sometimes sin, sometimes it doesn't have to be something sinful. It can be anything in this world that starts to come before God. And if we allow the world and the cares of this life to come between us and God, since we can't produce our own light, we're only a reflection of Christ, the cares of this world can start to make us go dark, our lives to reflect less light. Let me show you a picture with the moon. The moon is constantly changing in the sky, right? You realize the sun, the way God designed it, it never changes. It's the same because He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But the moon has phases, shifts. Someone prayed, I think it was you, prayed in our chapel service this morning about how we're constantly changing. Sometimes it's for the better, sometimes it's for the worse. But there's this constant change and struggle for us to be and walk with God. You notice the moon changes its shape. You see, this moon right here, it's not the earth. People say the earth is blocking part of the sun. No, it's its position to the world where we can only see a part of it. As it rotates around the earth, to that position in comparison to the earth, we can only see part of it because of its position to the world. Disciple, if your position to the world is not correct, it's not in the right order. First God, then the cares of this life. When we start getting those positions wrong, then we no longer can reflect the full light. And God forbid it be sinful things. Can it be just family sometimes and work and all the other cares? But when we start getting the world and the cares of this life in the wrong place, we start losing our light, folks. We start losing our commitment. When we lose our commitment, we lose our zeal. When we lose our zeal, we've lost our joy. And then we are no longer good soldiers of Jesus Christ being faithful. We're no longer enduring hardships. We're retreating. We're surrendering. Look at this one. Next one. Whew. To me, that says, disciple who is really struggling with the world. Keeping God in his focus or her focus. Or maybe it's a person that says, well, I want to have one foot with God and one foot in the world. Divided loyalties. Oh, good. Next one, Levi. Boy, that's a disciple whose light's almost out. The world has a hold of them. It can get so bad, we call it what? A lunar eclipse. Where the world gets completely between the sun and the planet, or the moon. The world gets middle between the sun and the moon, and the light goes out. This can happen to those who call themselves believers. Those who are supposed to be disciples. We were talking about this in our men's study. This last Tuesday, there were disciples following Christ who decided, no, it's just too hard. And in John 6, 66, chapter 6, verse 66, they said the most evil thing a disciple could ever say or do. They walked with him no more. Their light went out. They no longer are reflecting the light of the sun. So here's the question, folks, I'll leave with you in my last 2 minutes. Lunar eclipse. No, next slide, Levi. Which one are you going to be? God is so important to God that He put it up in the sky for us. This message, one of Jesus coming into the world, is for the whole world. But this, the moon, the lesser light, the message it's telling us, is directed at us. We're to reflect the light of Jesus Christ, the true light of the world. Which one are you going to be? Which one are you willing to be? God won't force you. If you're fully committed to Him, you'll want to be full, a moon, in all its brilliance. You see, there's one more change the moon goes through. We won't see this change in ourselves as disciples, as the faithful witness. But one day we will experience this change. And it's a change that the moon goes through just once in a while. It just happened to happen 2 weeks ago. What happened 2 weeks ago with the moon? Solar eclipse. Where the moon gets in completely encompassed in the glory and the light of the sun. It's glorified. So brilliant that you can't look at it with your bare eyes. Just like Saul couldn't look at Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Next slide, Levi. You see, a solar eclipse is the complete opposite of a lunar eclipse. The lunar eclipse, the earth, the world has gotten between the sun and the moon. But now the moon has wised up and puts the world behind it. So there's nothing between the sun and itself. And in doing so, that for a moment, the sun is completely engulfed. Or the moon is completely engulfed in the sun. In the glory. one day, saints, God says He'll take us home and we'll be glorified. That's our final destination. So, question real simple. Which one are you going to be? Which one are you going to be? Which one do you desire to be? God can do all things. It's just, do you desire what He desires? Are you willing to be good soldiers and endure hardship so He can make you a full moon? Are you willing to put God at the forefront, Jesus Christ at the forefront, being the church at the forefront, and everything else in life evolving around your identity as a disciple of Jesus Christ? That's what the churches need to be. And that's what so few churches are. This was so important to God that He put it in the sky to tell us each night. This week, go out and look at the moon this week. Look how beautiful it is as it rises and it's full. And God's saying, I can do that in you. I want to do this in you. I want your life to reflect me. It's important to Him. And hopefully it's going to be important to us as a new church and a new day with a new focus. All in here. The heart of a soldier, the heart of a disciple. Last two things and I'm done. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God. To be a good soldier, you have to understand, you don't no longer own yourself. In the military, in the U.S. military, you're called maybe a GI, government issue. Right? The government owns you. Military owns you. Jesus is our Lord, our Master, our owner. He owns us. He purchased us with a heavy price. We are identify ourselves with His death, and our lives are to be about Him, not ourselves. If you truly understand Jesus, if you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you must understand this. Ask Him what He wants you to do. And I don't care how old you are. There's no retirement when it comes to God. You haven't done your time in the church yet. If you're still here, you have time in the church. I've heard that from old people. But I know some of the older people in here, boy, they've been committed. I see them more sometimes than others, younger. I'm thankful for that. But we have to understand our lives are about Him. That world should not get between us and the Son. It shouldn't. One last thing, guys, and then we're done. You shall, Romans 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. God's got our back. He's got our future wrapped up, secured. Nothing will separate us from Him. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make the good fight of faith. Be good soldiers who accomplish the mission, who are always faithful, who do not surrender or retreat. And one day when we stand before Christ, we will have no regrets. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the last 2 weeks, very direct messages, Lord, that we are to take, hopefully, and understand and receive and follow, obey. You call us to obedience. You say, those who love you will keep your commandments. Lord, you've commanded us, not just in your word, but in the sky, to be faithful witnesses. Lord, I ask you from this point on that this church, this small band of believers, these few, this band of brothers and sisters, Lord, that we come together as one to be your church, to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, to be on mission and to accomplish the mission. And Lord, when you return for your church, that we will be a church that is ready, ready to be called up, ready to stand before you. Because when you call, when you come, we will be busy. We will be doing what you called us to do. We'll be a church ready for you. I pray that, Lord. And I pray no matter what goes on in this world, we're going to stand strong. And we're going to stand firm. We're going to stand resolute. I pray this for us, Lord. Use us to glorify your name and to bring lost souls into the kingdom. And I pray that we're fully dedicated to that, Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to stop the service here. Go to the last slide. We are Team Jesus. Go ahead, nice slide, last slide. There you go. Good job. We are Team Jesus. This concept means we're a team. We support one another. We need one another. I'll be praying for you this week. I'll be thinking about you this week. If you need anything, we're here. We're the few, the loved, the redeemed. Don't forget that. Let's put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's go out there and be his team, his church. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand up? We'll get out of here today. Thank you for coming. Next week we will get back to apologetics. We'll pick back up with the dinosaurs. Great stuff. And I'm not talking about Floyd. Get back to the dinosaurs, the real ones. All right. On the count of three, let's break out of here. One, two, three, break. Let's go.